rings, crash diets, condomless sex, crop tops, and corrupt corporations that lure all the gays in with their logo wrapped in a rainbow. What does all of this mean? Oh shit, it's June. Happy Pride Month. Ronnie Washburn here. And that moment we've been waiting for has finally fucking arrived. Bossy Power Bottom Wear is now officially live on RonnieWashburn.com. That's R-A-O-N-I Washburn.com for purchase. Bossy Power Bottom Wear, the gay lifestyle and clothing line that unapologetically describes what it means to live your best gay life and show others through your clothing that you bottom like a boss. Want to know more? Go to RonnieWashburn.com now. That's R-A-O-N-I Washburn.com and find out for yourself what it truly means to bottom like a boss with Bossy Power Bottom Wear. The following is brought to you by Bossy Power Bottom Productions. I reject your rejection. Number 3648629. Please step forward. I looked down at my chest and realized it was my turn. That was my number. It was across my chest. It was time. Oh my God, this is it. The moment I had been waiting for. I was so fucking nervous. I just sort of felt like I was a deer in headlights. I walked away from the five other members that were waiting for their very turn, and I faced the panel of judges. And as I stood there in that moment, I sang to my heart's content. I closed my eyes for one moment, and I just felt the fucking music, and I just belted it out the best I could, hoping so bad that I would make it to the next round. And you guys, I did just that. I made it to the next round. In fact, there were five others in that room with me in that moment, and it was only me and one other that made it to round number two. We were escorted into the next room and joined by three other individuals who had also been accepted into round two. And as we went up and took our turns and sang our songs one by one, by one, by one, by one, it was very clear that I was making it again to round number three. I was so fucking excited. Did I actually think for a moment that I could possibly make it to Hollywood? That's right, folks. If you're listening along and wondering what I'm talking about, this was the very moment that I drove down to Pasadena, California, and auditioned for American Idol season two. And as I continued to just sail through all of the different rounds of auditions and faced Simon, Paula, and Randy, and the terror began to seep in all the more. This was that moment I had been waiting for. And again, I belted out in song and hoped for the best. And as you may have guessed, Simon didn't like me, but Paula was on my side, and Randy seemed a little bit impartial, but definitely gave me the go. And you guys, I made it. I did it. I was in. But you know what? Here's the thing. I made little to no airtime on the actual show itself because I was eliminated very shortly following. In fact, Simon even told me that I looked as though I was a deer in headlights. And you know, looking back on that opportunity that I experienced way back then, and even though I did face that rejection, I knew that that was a different time, and I have come such a long way. And little did I know that all of the rejection that I had faced in my entire life, at some point in my life, would hit full circle, and I would be freed from that mindset filled with rejection. So sit back, relax, put on that condom, or pop your prep pill, and let's explore the entire notion of what it means when I say that I reject your rejection. You are now listening to My Gay Exposé Podcast, a show that unperfectly describes what it's like when life has you fucked in the head while being fucked from behind. I'm Ronnie Washburn, a writer, LGBTQ plus community activist, self-proclaimed, messy, loud-mouthed, and somewhat semi-passable podcast host, popper sommelier, porn star, fluffer in training, and local San Francisco bossy power bottom that just so happens to be on the left of you on your Grindr grid. And this is My Gay Exposé Podcast. Ronnie Washburn here. And welcome back to the show that really just should totally be fully rejected by all of you, but for some reason, it has just been embraced. So, My Gay Exposé Podcast. And on this week's exposé, we explore the entire notion of what it means to live most of your life being fully rejected in like almost every single aspect of your life. And how does one cope with it? You guys, I'm going to tell you the full-blown story of my entire life, basically from the very first moments that I remember in kindergarten for the first time, playing in the sandbox with a couple of little boys and wanting so bad to build a sandcastle with them, only to find that that was my very first memory of rejection. And realizing that it wouldn't stop there. It would definitely go through all the way into high school, all the way into my 20s, coming out as gay, how I was rejected for that, and just all the different aspects in my life that I have been rejected, and how in this current moment, sitting here, right now, as I speak to you in this microphone, I can fully say with full confidence that I reject any more future rejection because I have grown so significantly, have moved past all of that bullshit. And I just really want all of you to know that even though you might spend most of your life feeling rejected for whatever reason, there's always like a light at the end of the tunnel, you guys. And I'm here to tell you what my light is all about this week. And what is like the most significant moment in your life that you've been rejected? And how do you cope? That's the question that was asked this week to a few of my friends, as well as you, the listeners. And so let's get some of those answers and we'll figure out what all of you have dealt with in your past in regards to rejection. But first, before we actually realize that you didn't get the job once again because you think it's probably because you were just maybe a little too gay, first, let's hop into this week's re-exposé. Welcome to this week's re-exposé, the segment in which I take the time to reassess, re-examine, re-explain, restart over, or just re-say shit that I said in past episodes that either you didn't fully understand, I didn't fully understand, you came for me and I felt like I needed to readdress, or once I re-listened through for an edit, I was like, ugh, fuck, God. Fuck. Oh my God. What was I even trying to fucking say there? Ugh, Jesus. What a goddamn mess. That definitely merits a re-expose. Okay. You guys, listen, it's so fucking hysterical. So for the first time in My Gay Expose Podcast history, you all were so fucking confused about the math question last week. It was so funny. Like, more often than not, in just the specific group of friends that I sent this question to, I don't understand why so many of you just didn't understand what the question was. So here's the question. If I told you that you use gay math on a regular basis in your day-to-day life, how would you interpret that? Like, I wanted everybody to get like creative and fun with it. And, you know, a few of you did, but I got so many people who actually responded with, what the fuck does that mean? What are you talking about? What is gay math? Like, it was just such a clusterfuck. And truth be told, like when I had the question posted on mygayexpose.com, and even when I posted the story at Exposing My Gay on Instagram, it was the least amount of responses because I think I just threw everybody off and confused the fuck out of everyone. And so I apologize on behalf of not being clear, but you guys, I mean, many of you got it and you were just supposed to use your fucking goddamn imagination. Honestly, that was the entire premise of that expose. And it was a lot of fun to create that shit this week. That's actually, you guys, literally, that's like how my fucking twisted and morbid mind works. So that being said, you guys, listen, we're sitting in the month of June. And what that means is that you need to go get your bossy power bottom wear piece now. You guys, we're in Pride Month as we speak, and you need to get your next piece from Bossy Power Bottom Wear for your upcoming gay or Pride or Pride Month event. Or, you know, shit, just going to the gym. And think about it like this. If you're like running on the treadmill and your shirt says honorary cum dump, and you just so happen to be eyeing that hot jock top that you had been eyeing on your Grindr grid for weeks, and he sees that on your shirt, you're so gonna get banged out in the locker rooms, right? You're welcome in advance. So RonnieWashburn.com, that's R-A-O-N-I, Washburn.com. Check out the line. I promise you, you won't be disappointed, especially if you get a happy ending in the gym locker room. And I just want to take the time in this moment to thank each and every one of you for donating to my AIDS life cycle journey. You know, most of my donations this year were actually done by podcast listeners, which is absolutely fucking incredible. You know, I just want to thank all of you from the bottom of my gay little black heart for just supporting somebody that you don't even fucking know in person and just understanding that this mission that I'm on in my life to endorse something like an AIDS life cycle is just so important in today's society. And again, thank you so fucking much. And I can't wait to report back with all of the fun that I had on the AIDS life cycle this year. So before we get my gay expose on this week's topic of conversation, that just so happens to have a, once again, I was picked last for the softball team famed undertone. First, let's get your gay expose. And this week, the question was asked to a few of my friends, as well as you, the listeners. What is the most significant moment in your life that you've been rejected, and how did you cope with it? So let's get some of those responses now. Michael says, when my partner left me for someone else, I coped with it by just going out and doing whatever I wanted to do. And it was very much about me and self-care. Lisa says, mine was a best friend. I loved her, and I think of her to this very day. We met in elementary school, but by the time that we went to college, my mental health had deteriorated, and I was suffering from major anxiety and depression, mostly untreated. She rejected me, and I was devastated. I think if I ran into her today, I would have to look the other way. Peter says, I'd say Grindr is a safe answer. Kyle says, probably the first guy I fell in love with. He was my best friend and straight. I basically lost all my friends and had to start over. And I'm still not even over it. Eli says, the apps, the end. Heath says, everybody wants a husband, but all they actually get is rejection. Wow. I feel like there's a story behind this. Will says, I overheard who I thought was my boyfriend tell his friend who had been hitting on me all night long that while we were partying together in New York City, kissing and holding hands, all of it, that Will is single, so go for it. That broke my heart, and I moved to LA soon after, and I would never have moved west if that didn't happen in 2010. Ugh, yeah, you know, serious boyfriend rejection, that's a big one for sure. Timothy says, I remember in high school, I finally dropped my balls and decided to try out for the soccer team, and I fucking made it. But what I realized after I made it was that I was going to sit the bench the entire season, and I only got put in when we were like killing the other team. And I realized that that was a form of rejection in itself, even though I still made the team. Chris says, one of the most significant moments of rejection was realizing my former job wasn't going to bring me long-term joy. It took a while for me to realize this. It was just not the right fit. And that's okay. Danmar, I think it's Danmar. I want to say it's Danmar. I hope it's Danmar. If it's not Danmar, I'm sorry. But Danmar says as follows, I have auditioned for RuPaul's Drag Race 6 times and still have never been accepted. Derek says, the gay scene, hooking up and dating, all of it is just filled with rejection. Stacy says, when I was in high school choir, I always wanted so badly to audition for the solos, and I did, but every time I did, there was this other girl that always auditioned as well, and she almost always beat me out because she was just a little bit better than me. So I picked this answer, you guys, because this actually is kind of a similar story in my life. I actually, in high school choir, was probably the second best solo voice out of the boys in the choir. And then there was always one guy that was like better than me. And every time we auditioned for solos, he almost always got it. It just sucked so bad because I was actually really good, but he was actually a lot better. I totally feel this one so much. It's not even funny. Michael number 2 says, gay hookup culture. True that. Who hasn't experienced rejection in the hookup world? Sam says, last year, I interviewed for a job that I wanted so bad, and I didn't get it. And that rejection, even to this day, is something that I still have a hard time thinking through. Josh says, when a guy that you thought you were so in love with finally comes up to you and says that you're just not for them any longer. Paul says, 2 years ago, I was up for a promotion at the job that I had been at for about 15 years. It was against another coworker. We were both up for the job, and I walked into that interview with so much confidence that I had it, and I actually didn't get it. That rejection is even to this day something I still don't understand. Jen says, I never actually tried out for anything growing up because I have a crippling fear of rejection. And I just regret all of it as an adult looking back. I could have had so much more life-enriching experience if I didn't focus on the rejection. Kevin says, I hear about friends of mine all around me talking constantly about being rejected by guys on Grindr. But fortunately for me, I don't really have that kind of luck on Grindr. I often find myself getting exactly what I want out of Grindr. So I really would love to know more about this rejection on Grindr, except for maybe once or twice. Okay, maybe three times. Okay, so maybe I have actually been rejected on Grindr. What the fuck? You guys, if you knew this bitch, she's like, I know she's joking, but she is kind of self-absorbed. Such a stupid bitch. Wow, you guys, listen, all of this shit, all of this rejection, this is kind of fucking deep. And, you know, I want to thank all of you for opening up about your own personal rejection situation. You know, it's so funny. I love how, like, gays always just flock immediately to, like, hooking up and Grindr and sex apps as their form of rejection that they recognize. But, like, listen, let's think about it logistically. How much rejection have you faced in your entire life, Grindr aside? Like, think about that for just a moment. I mean, okay, listen, you're about to get the full-blown expose on literally every aspect of my life that I have fully been rejected. So I feel like many of you out there can probably relate to all the shit that I'm about to say. So let's just get into it. But don't worry if you didn't get your answer read this week. Just continue to follow on Instagram at Exposing My Gay. And remember, the funnier the answer, the more likely you'll be read live on the show. And you can also check out the question each and every week, just in case you miss the Instagram story, at mygayexposepodcast.com. And now, let's get my gay expose, and you'll find out all the reasons why I say the actual statement. I reject your rejection. All right, you guys, listen. I wanted to take this quick time out to ask you for a huge favor. I need all of you right now in this moment to go over to Apple Podcasts and click 5 stars. This helps us in the podcast world out so much more than you will ever know. It actually gets us to that trajectory that we're actually already on our way to just a little bit faster. And it makes things start happening. I really just need your help. Please, if you wouldn't mind, just go to Apple Podcasts, click 5 stars. And if you don't want to click 5 stars, just, well, keep that click to yourself. But you can also rate 5 stars on Spotify too. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, please, I need your help. Click 5 stars and allow my gay expose podcast to get to that next best thing. Rejection has honestly been the story of my life. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I've pretty much been rejected by pretty much every aspect that I've ever encountered, you know, from the earliest memories that I've had of, you know, kindergarten. And I remember actually going to school for the very first day in kindergarten and seeing a couple of little boys playing in the sandbox and really wanting so bad to join them because it looked like so much fun. They were like building a little sandcastle village. I wanted to help. I wanted to participate. I wanted to help them create that moment. And so I asked them if I could join, and they both just kind of looked at me, laughed in my face, and told me to go away and that I wasn't welcome. And for the very first time at least as far as I can remember that far back, I was fully rejected. But little did I know that actually wouldn't be the first time that I would experience rejection from my peers. In fact, I remember elementary school being all that much more rejection because, you know, as I've stated so many times on this show, I was a ginger and I was different. And I was also super feminine and that was different. And I don't feel like the boys and girls that I went to school with fully understood who I was or what I was about. And they wouldn't even give me the opportunity to befriend them. I spent most of my elementary school life facing rejection and wanting so bad to socialize and have friends, but having little to no interactions with the kids around me. I was just constantly made fun of, called a redhead and various different names in regards to being a ginger, being a redhead, being feminine, being gay, being a girl. Even before I knew what most of those words actually meant, those were the insults that were hurled my way on a regular basis. And I don't even think that I have to say junior high really wasn't even that much better because as we all know, as you're entering in to that very awkward phase of junior high, I mean, we're all about to hit puberty or in the moments of hitting puberty, we're super fucking awkward. And all of that like insecurity that I had clinged onto from elementary school just sort of carried through into my junior high life. And I still faced rejection. I was rejected by my peers so often that it just became my norm. My everyday, like, ritualistic routine was to just be rejected on a regular basis. I had no friends. I was a loner. I was by myself. My mom, when I was in that age range, was basically my only friend because all of my friends, they didn't want to have anything to do with me and they wouldn't even be my friends. I wanted friends so badly. And when I got into high school and then actually ended up going to a Christian school, is that little did I know that that was a mind crippling fuck all the more because the Christian school kids accepted me even less because I was feminine and I was different and they all just made fun of me because they thought that I was gay. And I mean, they were absolutely fucking right, but I was still struggling with all of that ridicule and rejection. And I just wanted so bad to have a circle of friends, just like everybody else did, but I didn't fit in. Nobody would give me the time of day. And I constantly and continuously just faced a heavy set case of rejection in my life. You know, I remember actually I started to kind of sort of make friends a little bit towards the end of high school. And I remember my senior year, I actually wanted so bad to ask a girl to the prom because everybody else was. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be, you know, in with the in crowd. And so I remember it well. I decided I was going to ask this girl and she just so happened to be like in like the hip crowd. And it was the stupidest thing I could have ever done because when I walked up to her and asked her if she would come with me to the prom, she basically did everything except for almost laugh in my face. And once again, I faced that heavy set case of rejection. And it just became my norm, my everyday way of life. Once I graduated from high school and entered into my 20s, it really didn't get that much better because once I decided to come to terms with the fact that I was gay and come out of the closet to all of my friends and family around me, it was to no surprise that my family specifically just completely and entirely rejected me. The only people that up to this moment in my life that like embraced me and accepted me because they saw that I was facing all of this rejection finally rejected me because I was gay. They refused to acknowledge it. They wouldn't accept me. They wouldn't like let me be who I truly was. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. Once again, by my very own family, I was faced with rejection. You guys, rejection became my only friend in life. That's all I knew. And as I tried really hard to figure out what it meant to be gay and to be out, I suddenly started to realize as I made gay friends that suddenly there was a group of people that actually, for the first time, didn't reject me. They actually wanted me. They wanted to be surrounded in the same circles as I was. They actually wanted to go out to the club and have a good time with me. They actually wanted to actually just go to dinner and have a good laugh over a couple of beers and a couple of appetizers. I actually made friends. For the first time, the gay people who probably were facing a lot of their very own rejection in their own lives. Suddenly, for the first time, I was embraced by them with open arms. And you guys, I didn't know how to take it. I didn't know how to embrace it. I had been programmed my entire life to just cope with the rejection. And for the first time, I wasn't being rejected. And I didn't know how to swallow it. I didn't know how to maneuver through that journey. Well, you know, it finally came time to the point where I started dating. And the rejection in the gay community, as we all know, was a very common and real thing. And, you know, once I moved to San Francisco and really started trying to take this shit seriously after, you know, I went through all my various boyfriends and ended up like breaking things off with them, marrying my ex-husband, breaking things off with him. And for the very first time, I found myself living in the city of San Francisco, only 4 months new to the area, newly single, and not having a fucking clue what to do next. It honestly, it was very terrifying, but it also felt very exciting. And I found myself making friends so easy in this beautiful city, like being surrounded by all of these gay people who understood who I was, who got me, who embraced me, who didn't reject me, who openly wanted to vest a relationship with me, to be my friend, to basically create this moment where I was able to select my chosen family because the rejection aspect just seemed to be nothing more than a fond and distant memory. But you know, as I created my little circle of friendships, I suddenly realized that I, just like them, wanted to get on the sex and dating apps. I wanted to hook up with guys on Grindr. I wanted to start dating guys out in the real world. I wanted to be that gay that did all of those things just like all of the other gays around me. And I don't think I even have to get to a place where we even begin to like tip the scales on how rejection filled Grindr is. I mean, am I wrong? We all face rejection on a regular basis on the Grindr app. And it's not just specific to Grindr. It's really just all the sex apps. How many times have you gone on your Grindr, tapped or messaged guys, and only to find that not only did they check out your profile after the fact, but they just didn't even go through the motions of saying anything to you at all whatsoever. And you're left there wondering, like, what is it about me that this guy doesn't like? Why do they not want to, like, message me back? Why do they not want to hook up with me? What is it about me that they don't like? And suddenly you find yourself right back in that moment at the sandbox with those kids being rejected once again. And all of that, like, just comes back to haunt you full circle. You begin to like revisit those insecure moments as you go through the Grindr journey and you start to hook up with guys. You end up hooking up with guys that you maybe wouldn't otherwise hook up with because you start to doubt yourself and feel like even though you know that you're an attractive guy, you just simply can't be bothered to hit that guy you actually really want to hook up with because you're just so afraid that he's going to reject you. Once again, you're riddled with all of your old like insecurities and you begin to doubt yourself as an individual. And that becomes who you become as an individual. And you guys, dating's no better. I think we can all unanimously agree, especially when it comes to gay dating in bigger cities such as San Francisco. It is the biggest mindfuck of all time. And you guys, I'm here to tell you, I'm a fucking Virgo. And what that means is one of the traits that Virgos tend to carry throughout their lives is that they are major overthinkers in like pretty much any scenario you could possibly imagine. I can't tell you how many times I laid on my bed and just like stared at the ceiling, just thinking things through, scenarios in my head, things about work, things about friendships, things about guys I'm trying to date, wondering why he doesn't want to like text me back after I told him I had a great time with him on that date the other night. And literally, I feel as though I'm being ghosted, and trying to figure out all the reasons why that could possibly be. Like, why I like wanted to hit up that guy on Grindr and he just blocked me, and suddenly he wasn't there anymore. And I didn't know what it was about me that created that moment where he wanted to block me. The Virgo mind is a very, like, kind of a perk in some situations, but for the most part, it's a very slippery slope of, like, not trying to, like, be a realistic member of society in most cases, because you over-evaluate the actual fuck out of everything. I can't tell you how many times I've, like, made myself sick overthinking specific scenarios, and as they actually come to the point where they, like, fully play out, it was nowhere near as bad as I depicted how it should have gone down in my mind. That's how bad this Virgo mind takes all of these situations where I've fully been rejected. But you guys, listen, I've been in San Francisco for about 8+ years at this moment. And, you know, in 2020, I decided to create this show known as My Gay Exposé Podcast. And while I was super green at the beginning, I really didn't know what I was doing. It took me a couple of years to really feel out my bossy power bottom voice, get a groove, actually get really good at this shit. I'm sitting here in this moment where I am being fucking praised on a regular basis for this very show. And, you know, listen, I don't really know, even to this second that I sit here, as I stand here recording in this very moment, how to take all of this praise, all of this adoration, all of these compliments. I don't know how to take it because I am so used to the rejection. I just don't know how to like maneuver through this specific like positive aspect in life, the actual opposite of rejection. You know, I remember when I first caught wind of the fact that my show is currently ranked number 14 of the top 100 best LGBTQ+ podcasts of all time. And I remember like pulling up the information that showed me like listed on the charts with all of these other fucking huge LGBTQ+ podcasts out there that, I mean, I looked through the entire list, and you guys, there were shows on that list that have been around far longer than mine, who have basically paved the way for many of us to be able to do shows such as this, who basically are award-winning, who get constant recognition from people all around the world on a regular basis. Big shows, shows that I looked up to for inspiration, and seeing them like lingering in like the 90s and the like 60s, for example, and knowing that I'm 14 of that 100, it just absolutely blows my mind. And, you know, for the first few moments, I had to like look at it a few times. I think I had to absorb the information because I just almost didn't believe that that was something that I was capable of. Because for my entire life, I had experienced all of this rejection. I just didn't feel that I was ever capable of doing anything that would remotely be accepted or praised or anything that would remotely be embraced as 14 of the top 100 best. There's no way that I could have ever done it. But you guys, I did. I did do it. I have done it. I am currently in that moment. And you know, the last like, oh God, I want to say like 8 months to like 3 or 4 have just been such a fucking wild ride for this show. Opened the doors to so many fucking opportunities that I just never foresaw being a thing. You know, creating my own production company through, you know, Bossy Power Bottom Productions. You know, getting through my book that's about to be dropped, hopefully here soon. You know, doing all of these other like public speaking events that are on the horizon for me. Actually getting involved pretty extensively and heavily in like the advocacy causes that I'm getting involved in because of this show. It's just so fucking fulfilling and rewarding. And I'm sitting here in this moment where for the first time in my life, I am so beyond confident and myself as a gay man to a place where I used to be so terrified to go out on dates. And now I walk into that first meeting of that guy on a first date, and I'm just so confident in the way that I carry myself that it's proven to like work in my favor. And I feel like that's how I'm conducting my business now with the transactions and the things that I'm kind of trying to maneuver through as far as future projects and whatnot. I'm just so much more fulfilled and like confident, and I just know that I'm no longer being rejected. I'm being openly embraced by outside business sources, by my peers, by my gay family, by my friends, by guys that really actually legitimately do for the first time want to date me. It's just so weird to like wrap my mind around that concept. And if I had a dime for how many guys I fucked on Grindr, you guys, I can't even tell you how many times I've had fucking sexual intercourse. It's that many. Thousands, probably. I don't even know. So that being said, I'm not saying all this to like brag, even though it's kind of nice to do that. My whole point is that if your story matches mine, or if it's a mirror image of what I went through from those first moments on that playground in kindergarten where I saw those two little boys building that sandcastle in that sandbox and wanting so bad to like hang out with them and help them make that sandcastle moment, and just thinking through all the rejection that you faced in your life, from job interviews that you didn't get because you're too feminine, from circles of friendships that you tried to like insert yourself in but they rejected you, to like even American Idol not even making it past that next round and being told basically that the reasons why was because you look like you're a deer in headlights and you're too feminine. And in that time frame, being feminine was not the next American Idol. And just not being accepted by your very own family when you come out of the closet as gay, and just coping your entire life with rejection, and just knowing that you basically have gotten to a place in your 40s. It took this long, you guys, but I'm sitting here in this moment reveling in that number 14 of the top 100 best LGBTQ+ podcasts of all time. I am sitting here in this moment knowing fully confidently that my show's numbers are growing and growing and growing with each and every episode published. And I'm getting all these like messages, comments, concerns, reads, all of it from you, the listeners. It is just becoming so amazing to build this community around this show. And just know that I don't have to focus on all of that rejection that I faced from my past, that I actually am looking forward to a bigger picture. For the very first time in my life, I absolutely reject all of the rejection from my past, and any rejection that I face in my future, I can sit here now and confidently say that I reject your rejection. What do we learn today, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, gays and straights, tops or bossy power, bottoms, gender fluid and non-binary, bisexuals and lesbians, transgender and questioning? Well, I'd like to think we learned a whole hell of a lot, or at least I hope that you learned that if you are struggling with rejection in your life, or have for most of your life, and you feel like it's like kind of affecting you in current day, like this moment as we sit here, right now, just know that rejection's not something that has to follow you into your future. You have to take control back. You have to do something for yourself that ensures that that rejection won't come back to haunt you in your future. And I encourage each and every one of you to take all of that past rejection, crumble it up and throw it in the goddamn wastebasket, because there's so much more value out in the world for all of you. And once you find it and once you run with it, it's all about you. And you know, you guys, listen, I just want to hear from you, the listeners. Like, what the fuck do you think? Like, What is the most significant situation that's ever happened to you in your life where you faced rejection? And how did you move on? How did you cope? Give me a call at the official My Gay Exposé podcast hotline at 415-501-0401. That's 415-501-0401. Call in, leave a message, and tell me all about it. Oh, God. And with that, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Click 5 stars, follow on Spotify, and don't forget to turn on those notifications so that you can catch wind of each and every episode of My Gay Exposé podcast right when it drops. Follow on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Exposing My Gay. And don't forget to check out the official show website, MyGayExposePodcast.com. And there you'll find any information that you need to know about the show, including the official show question for the Your Gay Exposé segment each and every week. And don't forget to check out the official show merch line, Bossy Power Bottom Wear, at RonnieWashburn.com. That's R-A-O-N-I, Washburn.com. And pick out your next piece for your future gay or upcoming pride event. Or, you know, just shit you want to wear to the gym to show off. And don't forget to join us next week for another messy, salacious, and relatable episode with me, Exposing My Gay. I'm Ronnie Washburn, and I will reject your rejection with you next time. Exposé has been brought to you by Bossy Power Bottom Productions. Want to know more? Go to bossypowerbottom.com and find out for yourself what it truly means to bottom like a boss with Bossy Power Bottom Productions.